like to reflect just practically upon those two realities, the good things and the evil things. Abraham says, my son, you receive the good things in life. Lazarus received the evil things. As Christians, we're always called to reflect, what is my relationship to those earthly comforts? Am I allowing myself to be comforted only by them? Am I finding my hope? Am I finding my joy? Am I finding my fulfillment only in those good things? And in response to this, just a practical consideration, and one that the church has always held up for us, is the practice of asceticism. Perhaps some of you have heard that word. We often think of it as being associated with Lent, when we fast and give things up. But actually, the church asks that all of her members practice asceticism in even the smallest of ways throughout the year. Throughout the year, every day of our lives, there are little ways that we can detach ourselves from those earthly comforts. Of course, whether it's by tithing, by giving of our wealth and our treasure so that we can serve, that we can provide for the Lazaruses in our lives, in our society. Whether it's perhaps fasting from meat, even on Fridays not in Lent, that's a very noble thing to do as well. To fast just in those little ways from those things that we enjoy, not as a way of becoming miserable, but as a way of allowing the Lord to be our one comfort, allowing the Lord to be our only consolation. And whenever we deny ourselves for his sake, we're able to say, Lord, I don't put my hope in these things. I put my hope in you. It's a beautiful way for us to reflect on those good things that the rich man received, but which he took and he accumulated for himself, never thinking of the afterlife, never thinking of his brother at his gate, never thinking even of the God who gave all of those good things. So as Christians, we're called to have those things responsibly, to place our comfort not in them, but in the Lord. Secondly, the things that are evil. The things that are evil. I think oftentimes we sort of associate with the rich man and think, well, my life is all good and I have all of these comforting things, and so I have to constantly be getting rid of these things. And certainly, like I said, we want to be responsible with them. But I know that we all receive those things that are bad too. We all have those moments of suffering. We all have those moments of pain. We all have those moments, despite all the earthly comforts we have, we still feel those moments of our own lack, of our own poverty, of our own illness because of sin. We can identify with Lazarus too. We too are poor men and women. We too receive those bad things sometimes. As Job says, we receive good things from the Lord, and should we not accept evil? This is the lot of every man and woman who's ever lived, those good things and those evil things as well. And what does our Lord invite us to do with those? Well, he invites us to allow him to transform them. He invites us to allow him, once again, to be our comfort, to be our consolation, not to necessarily avoid those evil things, not to try to avoid all pain, all suffering, all sadness in our life, because we know that we can't. But in those evil things that we feel, in those poverties, in that weakness that we have, can we allow the Lord to be our comfort still? Can we allow him to comfort us in our afflictions? Can we allow those bad things, just like Lazarus received? Can we allow those bad things to be redeemed and transformed by Christ so that we might cling to that eternal life? So that we might cling to that place where all of our hope lies. So, my dear friends, as we reflect this week, as we reflect on how the Lord wants to build our house, how the Lord wants to build our lives, how the Lord wants to lead us to heaven, let's reflect on our relationship to those good things and also our relationship to those bad things. How are we living in such a way as to not be attached to those good things? How are we living in such a way as to allow those bad things to be transformed by Christ and his love? Because we know that God's logic, we know that God's way of thinking, that God's plan for us is so much different than the plan of the world. But it's precisely for that reason that it's so much more beautiful.